Let's pray together, shall we? Father God, we just pause in your presence to acknowledge you as God and to thank you. Thank you for loving us, and thank you for being with us. Thank you for being in this place right now. And Father, may the songs we have heard, the praises that we have shared, the prayers that we have lifted up, Lord, may they all be pleasing in your sight. Even now, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of every heart be pleasing in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Scripture reading is Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And thank you for that song this morning. This is the day the Lord has made. Mm-hmm. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. That was the theme of the message I gave here several weeks ago. And today is a day that God has made. And we can choose joy. And what I hope we can do with this verse is to understand what it means to be transformed. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 starts with the word therefore. What does that mean? What does the word therefore mean? Any English majors here?
No.
She's an English major, by the way. Every time I preach, she said, "You said that wrong. It's supposed to have been da-da-da." That whole thing. Just like when I was in school, a lot of red marks, but they missed what I was trying to say because they didn't say it right or something. Anyway, therefore is a conjunction kind of statement. Therefore, what Paul was saying in Romans 12, 1, is that based upon everything I have said in the first 11 chapters. So he took 11 chapters to talk about doctrine. He took the first 11 chapters of the book of Romans to describe what God has done. And because of what God has done, he says, then we should, and then he tells us what we should do. Now let me just share with you some of the things that he covered in the first 11 chapters of Romans. Paul says that we are justified from the guilt and penalty of sin. We're justified by what? We are justified by faith. We're justified by faith. But when we get to the services, faith alone doesn't save you. We'll come back to that later. Don't tell anybody I said that, because it says we're justified, we're saved by faith. But we're going to expand on that a little bit later. Justification from the guilt and penalty of sin. He talked about adoption in Jesus and identification with Christ. He's placed that we are placed under grace and not law. The giving of the Holy Spirit to live within us is part of the doctrines that he went over in those first 11 chapters. The promise of help in all affliction, assurance of a standing in God's election, the confidence of coming glory, the confidence of no separation from the love of God, and confidence in God's continued faithfulness. These are all doctrines that Paul has presented to the people in Rome as he wrote this letter to them. And then he says, therefore, because of all of these things that God has done, he says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, in view of all of this that God has done, because of what God has done, and because God has allowed us to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Now, what's a living sacrifice? The people of that day were very familiar with sacrifices. They sacrificed frequently, but it was the killing of animals. And in their image, in their mind, when Paul said sacrifice, they had the idea of death and blood and the sacrifices that they did at the temple. But he used the word a living sacrifice. So we are to sacrifice ourselves, but still be alive. And we'll talk about that in a minute. This is holy and pleasing to God. A living sacrifice is where we empty ourselves of our own desires in order to please God. I am crucified with Christ, said Paul. And it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that he now lives in the flesh, he lives by faith in the Son of God. And when we surrender our will to the will of God, that's the living sacrifice. Not doing it our way, doing it God's way. The sacrifice that we make before God is in response to his sacrifice. You see, the God of the universe sacrificed his life. The God who created us took on human flesh and dwelt among us. And then he endured the pain and the penalty of the cross for us, for you and for me. There is a symbol of that that I think we often miss. When Jesus was on his way to the cross, he was stripped of everything. Everything in this world was behind him. He was humiliated. He was physically beaten. He was stripped down to nothing of this world's trappings, things that we think are important. Popularity, power, any of that, Jesus had nothing. And the image of a naked Jesus on the cross should be our image in our relationship to God. Stripped of everything of this world and surrendered to the will of God. That's what it means to be a living sacrifice, is to give up everything in this world. Because I tell you what, you ain't taking it with you.
Nope.
It's going to stay here.
Yep.
And we'll live eternity. And all those things that we thought were important in this life, they aren't. They aren't that important. The first word is therefore. Then he talks about the last part of Romans. Once you have experienced the doctrines and what God has done, then we have the application. How do you live that out? And that's what Paul does in the last part of Romans. The doctrines that he presents demand a response. Mm-hmm. What God has done demands a response from us. And that's where Paul says we become this living sacrifice. So what does that mean to be a living and holy sacrifice? Paul uses this image because people could connect to it. They could relate to it. It means dying to self and living every single day for God. It means our entire being, all of our heart, all of our love, all of our talents, all of our energy, and all of our strength is given to God. Let me give you an example. What monies that you have belong to God?
Give me all of it.
Now, we generally think a tithe. You know, you give 10% of your income to the Lord's work. God demands 100% of it. When you're buying gas, you're doing it for his glory. When you're buying food for your family, you're doing it for his glory. Every penny you spend is God's. You're not taking that with you.
Right.
And that's sort of a coming home kind of experience of sacrifice. It's not just the 10%. It's everything. When I mention to you the word worship, what comes to your mind? What is worship? Are we worshiping today?
Yeah, gathering together and worshiping God.
Okay, and that's what, that's the general practice. That we think, you know, we worship God by gathering together, and this is corporate worship. And this is very important because your presence here today encourages the rest of us. And together we are encouraged in our faith and in our walk with Christ. But if all you're giving to God is an hour a week, is that the only response you have to what God has done for you? Does that make you a living sacrifice? No. We have to give every minute of every day to God. Is that right, RJ? Yeah. And that's what Paul is saying. Paul is saying that, you know, yeah, this is worship and it's important, but every moment of our lives should be an act of worship before God because of what God has done for us. We respond to the mercies of God. We respond to God's love because he first loved us. We love. We love because God first loved us. It's a response to his love. If you've never experienced the love of God, then you're not able to love other people.
Can't show it.
Yeah. And it's out of that reaction to it changes us when we experience that love, when we experience the mercies of God in our lives, when we realize how much the creator of the universe loves us and cares for us and has promised never to leave us, constantly with us, and every wind that blows we experience his presence. God paid a price for us, for a debt that we cannot pay.
Yep.
You cannot pay for your rebellion against God. There's nothing you can do to earn a right setting before him. So God intervened. God became a human being. He took on human flesh and died on the cross of Calvary. The blood on the cross of Calvary was the blood of God. It was God's blood in human flesh on the Calvary that pays the price for us to have that relationship with him. And we can respond to that. What do we do in response to what God has done? And that's the sacrifice that Paul is talking about. That's what we can do to respond to the mercies of God. And this transformation, says Paul, is not by doing works. It's not by acting it out. And it's not by feeling something. It's not something you feel. It's not something you do. He says the transformation is by the renewing of your mind. By renewing your mind. By believing the truth. By accepting what the Word of God says and living in that constantly. And believing that he loves you so much that nothing's going to happen to you out of his power and control. You believe that?
I believe it.
I can pick on her. You believe it, RJ? There you go. And it, because of what God has done, we can believe him. It's by the renewing of our mind that we are become a living sacrifice. Once you have replaced all the garbage that's up here with the truth of God's word, you are set free. Once you come to understand that God's word is true, that God is with you, that God loves you, that God's forgiven you, and that you're going to live forever in the kingdom of God, once those truths have taken root in your brain and replaced all the garbage that we have up there, then you don't have anything to worry about. Why worry? Why feel a sense of guilt? It's been forgiven.
That's right.
Now, it doesn't matter if somebody else doesn't understand you and hates you. I'm glad the scriptures say, be at peace with all people as much as possible. Because I don't care what you do. You make this person happy, that one's not happy.
That's right.
So you do the best you can in this world. But that's not who you're here to please. We're here to please God.
Mm-hmm.
And God has wiped the slate clean. God said, mm-hmm. you're a good guy. And that he loves you very, very much. And he's going to always be with you. That's the promise of God. And when we allow those truths to become the guide for our living, transforming our brains from the garbage that we fill it with, things that we need, have to have, or things that are going to make us special or important, with the truth that it's God who's in charge and not us. When we have those truths embedded within us, then we're transformed into a new person. You may not feel it. Some people do. And you may not have to go out and do stuff. Some people do. But those feelings and the actions are not as important as knowing the truths of God and living in those truths. That's what Paul is trying to say. That's what causes us to become a living sacrifice. That reminds me that this preacher got up to preach. Where are you going, RJ? Where? Okay, whatever. This preacher was up preaching, and he was preaching on Adam and Eve, and just before the sermon, they had a meal, and the preacher went down to the meal, and some children decided they were going to do a little mischief, so they taped the pages of his message together. So he got up there afterwards, and he was preaching away, and he went to turn the page, and he was saying, and Eve said to Adam, and he turned the page, and he said, oh my gosh, there's a leaf missing. God's always there.
Yeah.
I don't know where that came from. Church is a place where we can do corporate worship. Personal worship every day is critical if we're going to be transformed into the image of God. Sacrificing is worship. Coming to church 1 hour a week is not enough.
Nope.
It's not enough. And that sacrifice might be little, or it could be big. God might be calling you to some strange land to witness to people. You know, the big things are easy to do. This is easy. Standing up and preaching and telling what God has done, that's easy to do. But you know what's hard? When I'm at home, I'm tired, doors are closed, and she says something to me that makes me mad.
Mm.
And it doesn't have to be much. You know, that's when the real test of our sacrifice comes into place. And it's the little things in life. It's letting people cut in line on you. It's not getting mad when somebody cuts you off in traffic.
Mm-hmm.
It's not allowing the things of this world to control you. Those little things that happen every day, that's the hardest part to do. Dying for God is not near as hard as living for God. Living for God is harder than sacrificing your life. Because dying is a one-time deal. One and done. But living for God is a daily, moment-by-moment experience. And we go through all kinds of things in this life. And being able to have those under control because of the truth of the gospel in our minds, knowing that God is God, is more difficult. For example, I worship God by sharing popcorn with my wife. Now you have to remember, you have to realize, y'all know what I mean, I didn't get married till I was 30. I was living in Charlotte, North Carolina, had an apartment. My dinner consisted of popcorn every night, and it was my meal. I would pop sometimes two big bowls of popcorn this big around, and that was my meal. I enjoy pop. I still enjoy popcorn. So some evenings, I will be at home, and I will go in, and I will pop me a bowl of popcorn. I'm getting ready to sit down and enjoy that bowl of popcorn, and she'll sit over there on the couch, and she'll say, "Boy, that smells good. I sure would like to have some." And I sacrifice by getting her a bowl and getting her some of my popcorn. Now, that's a little thing. But it's those little things that enables us to do the big things. Mm-hmm. And if we can't do the little things, then we can't do the big things. That's this right. Guy right here, he opens the door for that lady every time she gets in and out of the car. That's a sacrifice that I'm not willing to make. But he does. He sacrifices every time they go in and out by opening the car door for her and letting her in. Sometimes the little things that enable us to be a living sacrifice. Some of those are harder to do, and you're an inspiration, brother. Just don't make, just, you know, I'm not convicted yet, but
I know.
So imagine during the week you do not sacrifice in those little decisions, and it's very difficult to choose yourself instead of we choose ourselves instead of serving God. But you are living for your own desires rather than to glorify God. But then on Sunday, you come in here and you sing songs and you say prayers and, you know, you're worshiping God and you feel holy and righteous. But that's not what Paul is saying. Paul is saying that a living sacrifice is every day. Isaiah 29:13 tells us, "These people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." Often, what we consider worship is not really worship. It's a tradition. It's something we've always done. It makes us feel better that we spent an hour with God, that we gave him some time together. But that's not what Paul is talking about. Paul is talking about a transformed life. When we die to self and live for God, we are transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're going to talk about during this recharge time. What does it mean? How do we become transformed? How does a stop sign become a symbol for God? How do the ordinary, everyday things we do, how can we do those for the glory of the God who loves us and gave his life for us? And we do it by the mercies of God in response to what God has done for us. And when you experience the depth of his love, it changes you. It demands a response. So it is in that initial encounter with the love of God that we are confronted with a choice. Are we going to love like God does? Or are we going to take care of ourselves and not other people? That's what Paul is calling us to. Believing in God is not the end of our faith, but the beginning. I joined the church when I was 13. I accepted Christ into my life and was baptized. But that wasn't the ending. That was the beginning of my spiritual journey. And God's not through with me yet. He's still changing me and working on me. And maybe one day I will learn to open the door for my wife every time she walks through. I don't know. But to me, she's fully capable of doing that herself. But maybe that's something I need to do, but I'm not there yet. Believing in God is not the end of our faith, but the beginning. True faith reveals itself by the way we live. James reminds us that faith without works is dead. And this is something we'll expand on in a few weeks. Faith without works is dead faith. Dead faith won't save you. Dead faith won't save you.
Nope.
Satan believes and he trembles.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to save you is a transformed life. And that's a process. None of us are there yet.
Mm-hmm.
We're all growing. We're all becoming. That's the part, that's what transformation does. But there'll come a day. There'll come a day when we get to glory that our lives will be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. That's our objective.
Yep.
But we start the process in this world as we become more and more like God. Because of God's mercy towards you, what are you willing to sacrifice? What are you willing to sacrifice as you think about what God has done for you? Little things, and I don't know if God's speaking to you, or maybe it's a big thing. I don't know. But I know God has a plan for each of us. And we have to be a part of his plan for our lives, to do it God's way and not our way. Let's pray together. Lord God, this time together.